All hobbies have their dangers. Just think what you could pick up from old stamps. Bubonic plague, rickets, a penchant for zip-fronted 65% polyester cardigans, but nothing comes close to sailing for the sheer variety of ways to scare yourself rigid. And I think I've invented a new one. First, there's the wind. Too much of it and your boat will heel at a lurid angle, catapult you into the sea or hurl you across the cabin in a graceful arc that misses anything soft. And then a rusty tin will fall out of a locker and land on your head. Too little wind and your sails will flap uselessly as you lay dead in the water in the path of a supertanker carrying toxic radioactive waste. And of course, there's also the wrong kind of wind. This is the kind you get when you've no engine and no anchor and you're trying to claw your way off a spiked, rocky lee shore festooned with barbed wire and signs saying, "Private, keep off. Trespassers will be shot, survivors will be prosecuted." Apparently, there are lots of places like that down on the Solent. It's what's called being between a rock and a hard place. Then, of course, there's the water. Once it's deep enough to float your boat, it's also deep enough to sink it, drown in, freeze in, get mown down, stung by killer jellyfish, nibbled by piranhas, eaten by sharks, or landed on by a fat tourist in a paraglider. And that's only scratching the surface. There are also submarines. Once you get out in the big oceans, it's even worse. If you don't hit a half-submerged container, you'll get rammed by a whale, then sucked under by a giant squid. If you and your boat survive, you're bound to be stove in by a friendly supertanker trying to rescue you. It's really perilous out there. Now, your choice of boat is also crucial. Motorboats are relatively straightforward. They either burn or blow up, or at very high speed hit a buoy in a harbour that's been entered as a waypoint on the GPS. The other really serious threat is to your dress sense, as motorboaters have to wear faux skipper's hats with gold braid. That's real, by the way. And things called slacks, which are unreal, which are like trousers but with the style removed. Women have to be orange, and so do men. As for sailing boats, the basic choice is between two types, monohulls and multihulls, each with their own distinct flavour of fear. Both have towering needle-thin masts, again of two main types, ones which have just broken and ones which are about to. The difference is that on a monohull, a broken mast is a bad thing, while on a catamaran it's a good thing, because if the mast hadn't broken, the boat would have flipped over, probably while you were on the loo. Fiendishly, for that little extra frisson of fear, they're designed to be just as stable upside down. If they had a mast sticking out the bottom, you'd be laughing. Just rename the heads to tails and you're back in business. Of course, if you want to raise the stakes into an entirely new realm of trauma, there are trailer sailors like my Sailfish 18, Marlin, which add all the hazards of the road, from hedgehogs to speed bumps and roundabouts and one-way signs you didn't see, leaving you reversing between a phalanx of expensive cars with an irritable dust cart bearing down on you, driven by a bloke in a vest with hate tattooed on one hand and hate tattooed on the fingers of the other. Of course, this is only a précis, but I think the RYA also deserves a mention for their theory courses, which are even more terrifying than the practical ones. And then there's my own new unique and patented method, which I've invented entirely by myself. It all started innocently last November as I bought Marlin ashore at the marine store boatyard in Maldon. The genius bit was the seemingly innocuous decision to store my mast and rigging in my nearby shed over winter so I could do all the maintenance, as if that was going to happen. In the meantime, I trailered the rest of Marlin down to overwinter on the hard standing at the very friendly Maldon Yacht Club. Then came spring. Then it went. Then I began to think about launching Marlin. Only problem was, her mast, all 22 foot of it, was in my shed, and I didn't fancy strapping it to the roof of my old Volvo 240 estate when everyone else in Maldon was driving around in Mitsubishi shoguns with longer masts on top. There was only one option: launch at Malden Yacht Club, then motor a whole mile, a nautical one at that, up the river to where my mast was. Now, I've sailed sailing boats without engines, which is fairly petrifying, but motoring a sailing boat without sails is a new twist of terror. My mighty Mercury 3.3 had just been serviced, but as I chugged upriver alongside the Prom, my heart thumped twice in the eternity between each beat of the engine in a stop-frame universe where bees' wings flailed slowly like leaden oars rowing through treacle. Time was suspended. As I prayed for the next second to chime, my throat dried and stuck to a swollen sandpaper tongue as I watched a ball thrown for a dog, overtaken by the sun's crawl through heaven. But there's one terror beyond any other a sailor knows. It's not peer pressure, but pontoon pressure. Why does the entire world stop and gawp whenever anyone's coming alongside? Probably because they couldn't figure out why I was ashen white, gushing perspiration, bubbles foaming from a mouth that was mouthing and forming a crust on my chin. Oh, it felt great to be back on the water.